If you have your Bibles, be turning with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew in chapter number 18. When you find your place, if you would, let's go ahead and stand up out of reverence for the Word of God. Matthew in chapter number 18, we'll start reading there in verse 1. It says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" I want to preach to you a little bit about that question this morning. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for everyone that's come out to your house this morning, Lord, to hear your word preached, Lord. I just thank you for it, Lord. I just pray you would anoint me. Give me the words that you would have me to say, Lord, that they would be received as your words and nothing more, Lord. Just break our hearts open, Lord, that we can receive the message, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we see here that the disciples have come to Jesus and they've asked the question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what the answer was that the disciples were expecting. But as I think back across all the Old Testament saints, I have a few possibilities I think they may have been expecting. They may have thought all the way back to Noah and said, you know, Noah, he built the ark. If he wasn't obedient to the word of the Lord and done what he was told to do, humanity would have been wiped out there in Genesis chapter 6. They might have been thinking, well, surely he's a great man. He's in heaven now. Or maybe they may have been thinking about Abraham. He's the father of the nation of Israel. Surely he's a great man. Or maybe they were thinking about King David, man after God's own heart. Surely he would be a great man, right? Or maybe they saw a little further and thought about King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. He would be among the people that would be considered the greatest, right? So I think these may have been some of the people that the disciples were thinking maybe they were going to get an answer of. Who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? But as we think maybe who they thought the answer would be, we have to kind of stop and ask ourselves, why did they ask the question? What were they hoping to gain by the answer? If the disciples lived in 2017, these were maybe some of the answers they might expect it to be, or if it was us asking the questions. Why? Might be because they were looking to puff themselves up. Maybe they were trying to compare and see how great they were. They might have been thinking, you know, I'm a good person ever since I've been saved. I've been at church every time the doors are open. That makes me a great Christian, right? Well, maybe they were thinking about all the religious activities that they got to do. Maybe they were thinking, well, I've been a Sunday school teacher for so many years. Doesn't that make me great in the kingdom? Or how many times they taught Bible school? And maybe they were thinking, hey, you know, maybe it's the people we get to lead to the cross. Maybe it's the people that we have a part in helping to become Christians and accepting Christ. Maybe that's what makes us great. Or they may have been thinking financially about all the money they had given to help the early church. Maybe they've been thinking every time there was a need in the church, hey, they were standing there with their checkbook ready to write a check. Think any of those things might be things that the disciples were thinking, or that we might think today might make us a great Christian? Probably so. But let's read on in the text and we'll see the answer that Jesus gives here. In verse 2 it says, "And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive such a little one in my name receiveth me." I'm sure that was probably not the answer that the disciples were expecting. So we probably think about the great people that are in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven here being a place. A little child would probably not be the example that we tend to think of as the greatest person in the kingdom of heaven. After all, what does a little child have that we need to have? Of course, the first thing he said was we had to be converted. That's step number one. So we have to accept Christ as our Savior to get into the kingdom of heaven. But then we think about great people. After all, everybody wants to be great at something, right? Nobody that grows up and says, you know, I want to be an alcoholic. I just want to be a bum my life. Nobody sets off to be that way. Everybody wants to be great at something, right? So here we see the disciples are asking, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And they get the answer of a little child. But you know, there's some things that a little child can teach us. Because a little child's not been corrupted in a lot of ways like we have. If you think about it, what does a little child do? They just want to play and have a good time, right? You never see two little kids worrying about how big a house they live in, do you? You never see a little kid going, ha ha, my parents' house is bigger than your parents' house. Come on now, we don't see that. You don't see little kids worrying about where their clothes were brought at and how much they cost or what the name is that's on the tag. You don't see a three-year-old going out there and worrying about whether they're wearing Under Armour or Calvin Klein or whether they're wearing Walmart clothes, do we? Little kids don't care about those types of things. If you go and look at a group of kids playing, you'll see that all the kids are playing together, won't you? Boys and girls, white, black, Hispanic, rich, poor, tall, short, skinny, fat, doesn't matter, does it? They're just there. They just want to have fun. We've not taught them how to be prideful, how to be snotty, how to be rude. We've not taught them all the things that divide us and tear us apart. The devil's not had a chance to get a hold of them and ruin them. There's no titles involved. There's no rank of people. There's nobody better than the other. Kids just see a bunch of other kids they want to play with. Much the same way when Jesus came to earth, he saw a bunch of people that was worth dying for. So what happens to us as we grow older and become adults? We become prideful. We start looking for ways to make ourselves better than the other person. We all do it. It's just part of human nature. We start looking around and comparing what we have to what everybody else has. And when we have more or we have something better, then it makes us prideful because we have something they don't. Remember those people I mentioned earlier that I thought the disciples might have been expecting the answer to who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? We think about Noah. What would have happened if Noah would have had too much pride when it came to building the ark and he would have said, Lord, I can't build an ark. These people will make fun of me. They will ridicule me. Lord, you can't be serious. Think about Noah. I just pull him out as an example because we're all familiar with the story of the ark and the flood. Noah played a key part there because he was obedient and humble unto the Lord. Biblical scholars estimate that it took somewhere between 50 and 75 years to build the ark. The Bible doesn't tell us for sure, but it's what we estimate based on the events around it. We know he had his kids before the flood. And then after the flood, we know the kids were 100 years old when they started having kids. So think about that. For 50 to 75 years, every day that Noah and his family was out there building the ark, the neighbors laughed at them. The neighbors scorned them. Every time they would have went to the bank, the grocery store, they had to have interaction with people. They went and bought supplies. Maybe they just wanted a night out to eat at a restaurant. And they got made fun of. They got ridiculed. Because after all, it never rained before, right? So here's a man that's building this big boat in the middle of the land and telling everybody it's going to flood. They better get right with God. So in a way, you know, Noah was kind of an evangelist in his time because he was telling everybody why he's building a boat, why he's building it. They need to get right with the Lord, get sent out of their lives and accept Christ. Of course, we know the story that didn't happen. Noah only saved himself and his family. But in order to build that big ark and to save all the animals the family took with him, he had to be humble and listen to what God said. It wasn't Noah that built the ark. It was Noah that was used by God to build the ark. We think about King David. My Sunday school class has been going through the book of 1 Samuel. There's a lot of things we can say about King David, but one of the things that strikes me is how patient he was. Something I very much lack. Remember, Samuel anointed David king when he was what we believe to be a teenager, but it was still many, many years before he was able to take the throne. And yet, through all the trials David went through, he was patient, obedient, and humble unto God. When you think about somebody that's humble, King David certainly comes to my mind. Because I think if I was in his shoes the minute I was anointed king, I would want to sit on the throne. I would want all the fame, the glory, the prestige, the power that comes from being the king. He's anointed. It's his. Rightfully his. He was anointed by the chief priest to be king. So it was his, but he had to wait. Fortunately, I think for a lot of us, if we were in David's shoes, pride would get in our way. If we look through the book of 1 Samuel, there's multiple times that David had a chance to kill Saul. He was in his quarters and stole his sword. Saul had to come and get his sword back. Obviously, if he was in there when the king was sleeping and he took his sword, he would have had the opportunity just to take that sword and kill him. But he didn't. That's not what God told him to do. He was humble and obedient, much just like a little child is. Kids are teachable. They're humble. They don't have pride. What about Abraham? I mentioned him earlier. Did Abraham have too much pride? He did. Because he tried to do things his way instead of being patient and waiting on God. Look what happened. We know the story. They thought they were too old to have a kid, so they took matters into their own hands. He had a child outside of his marriage. And you know, that pride cost him a lot. Disobedience always does. But his pride and his disobedience has lasted for thousands of years, because we know that that child that came from outside of his marriage is where we get the Muslims today. So because of his pride, his unwillingness to be patient and wait on the Lord, his descendants have been fighting for thousands of years. Through one child, he had the nation of Israel. Through the other child, he had the Arabs. They all come from him. God's promise was fulfilled. He was the father of many nations. That's why I believe here that God gives us the example of a little child. They're humble. They're teachable. They don't look down on others. After all, as we read through the New Testament, we never saw once where Jesus looked down on anybody. Whether it be the woman at the well that was from Samaria, whether it be the leper, the blind, the lame, Jesus saw them all as we should see people, as human beings that were in need of salvation. After all, Christ came and died for you and I, just the same as he did everyone else. Even though sometimes we try to be prideful and make ourselves better than the other person, we were all dead in our sins until he came and saved us. So the example here from the little child as we think about it, is not to be prideful, but to humble ourselves. Not to look down on other people. Not to puff ourselves up that we're better or that somebody is worse than we are. Christ came and died for us all. After all, our mission as Christians is supposed to be to take as many people with us to heaven as we can. Regardless of their sins, regardless of our sins, regardless of how much money they make, regardless of where they live, which side of the tracks, how big their house is, no matter what kind of degree or lack of degree hangs on the wall, we're to see each other as little children. If we read on here in chapter 18 of Matthew, we'll see that the Lord tells us that in verse 6 that whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it's better for him to have a millstone or hang around his neck and were drowned in the depths of the sea. Verse 8 it says, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than to have two hands and two feet and be cast into the everlasting fire. So we see here in the parable, Jesus is telling us to get rid of whatever's in our life that would block us from accepting Him in salvation. But if we take it one step further, once we have salvation, He's also telling us to get rid of anything that would be a stumbling block for us in our Christian lives. It would better for us to be blind, it would better for us to be that we couldn't walk, than it would be to watch stuff or to go places that would cause problems for us. There again, it's referencing back to being a little child. It's saying, be humble. Get rid of your pride. Do what I tell you to do. Be obedient just like a little child. After all, when a child's born, the devil has to teach them how to be rebellious, right? Generally, that comes about the teenage years, but it's not what we think of as a little child. So when they ask, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? We could answer that in paraphrasing by saying the one that's the humblest, the Christian that's the most obedient, just like a small child. With every eye closed and every head bowed, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you another question this morning. Ask Miss Joanne, Bonnie if they'll come. What is the effect that pride has had in your life? Are you going to be like Abraham and have pride issues that last for years?